ITS Coffee Break for Friday, April 30th, 2010.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we have tons of stuff for you because it's been so long. In IT news, we'll give you updates on the WordPress migration and Project Next Web. And in tech news, there's a lot going on. Follow Friday, Facebook privacy changes, high-tech attendance system at one university, and the Apple iPad all have attention from us.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name's Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And it's been a really long time since our last podcast.
It has been. We were just talking about the fact that we need to record one of these at least periodically because Brian Alexander always talks about how we do these podcasts, and so we sort of should do them.
And we have students who show up and ask, how do I do this in Audacity?
And then
I couldn't remember how to import an audio track, so clearly we need to do this a little bit more often. But we've been really busy this semester.
We have been very busy. So on top of just our sort of normal day-to-day jobs, we've been deep in WordPress migration and Project Next Web.
Yeah, so you're on the Next Web committee, so I think that's your baby to talk about.
Yeah, so as we probably mentioned in our last one, like 6 months ago or so, we are moving to WordPress. And so the WordPress migration is full steam ahead. All of our websites that were living on WW2 have been moved or are in the process of moving, and that should be complete at the end of June when we turn that server off. And also, WordPress 3.0 is coming, and it's very, very cool. So we're excited to get everyone moved and then give them an upgraded sort of piece of software.
Right.
So that'll be cool.
Yes.
And then going along with that migration, we had already sort of started that, and we decided, oh, the whole Lafayette website needs to be redesigned. So we've actually been working on, we call it Project Next Web, but basically it's a project. We're working in conjunction with Viget Labs down in Church Falls, Virginia. And they are leading us in our redesign. So we have a website up. It's at sites.lafayette.edu/nextweb. And we're excited about the end result, which should be here about the same time as the server gets changed over.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you can get the complete timeline, questions about WordPress, all that kind of stuff is now on the Next website. And I guess I could talk a little bit about WordPress 3.0. It's currently in beta, and we're evaluating the beta right now. And it's supposed to drop sometime in May. We probably will do the upgrade maybe sometime in June. We'll see exactly how everything shakes out. But I guess for the end user, what it introduces, the big thing that it introduces is the ability to have an editor style sheet. So what this means is that we've had this complaint from folks using the existing stuff, is that what you work on in the WordPress editor doesn't necessarily look like what you have on the site.
Right.
Well, with WordPress 3.0, you can have this editor style sheet for your theme, and it will display the text pretty much the same way it will look like when you publish it. So I think that should address that.
That will be very good for people.
Yes. It also does custom content types, which won't affect most people who are using WordPress at Lafayette, but it does allow us to have some more flexibility in themes, a little bit more flexibility about how different kinds of content are displayed. So you can have like a podcast content type or I'm trying to think of something else. A profile content type, those kinds of things where you have a class of data and you want to present it in a certain way. So that's pretty nifty. And there's some other back-end things that are going on that make geeks excited. But generally speaking, I think it's it'll be more stable. And I think the other big thing is menus. The menu system's getting an overhaul. So we won't need the exclude page from navigation plugin anymore. That'll just be part of WordPress.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So change is fun most of the time.
Yeah, just... it consumes all of our time. So in tech news this week, I thought we'd kick things off by talking a little bit about Twitter. Because Twitter is still out there and kicking around, and I think it's matured a lot since the last time we talked. I mean, I think it's a lot more mainstream than it was.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and as a sign of how mainstream it is, Lafayette itself actually has a Twitter account.
Finally, yay!
So, this is maintained by Communications Division, and you can find it on Twitter at...
LAFCOL, L-A-F-C-O-L.
Yes. And then Project Next Web has its own Twitter account, which is project_NextWeb. And there'll be a link to all this in the show notes. And the Lafayette College one basically gives you, like, news and happenings about Lafayette students.
Sometimes it'll have sports stuff in there. Sometimes it'll be, like, community news.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. They occasionally tweet about Easton as well. And right. The Next Web project basically talks about what's happening with that. And I think that, you know, the Next Web project has been soliciting a lot of feedback from the community. And there's a board down in Farrenon where we basically, it's the low-tech
the bulletin board, right?
So the idea was that we wanted people to be able to contribute their own ideas to the project. So basically, you can go down to the basement of Farrenon each week. There's a new question. No, every week to 2 weeks, right? Asking people what they want in the redesign. And you can write your ideas down on sticky notes and post them up there. And then the Next Web community gathers all those up and takes a look at them, right?
Yep. Take a look at them. And then sometimes we base our next question on what we've seen happening on the board. So there was one point at which people were saying that we need a better search engine. So we have Google, and that seems to work. So we were trying to figure out what people were having trouble with. So the next week's question was something about search and the problems with it, and trying to uncover some of that.
And I think part of that was, just if we venture aside, one of the questions that people had was, well, we want to know faculty office hours. And I understand why people want that, but I don't think that information exists anywhere. You know, there's not like there's this database of faculty office hours that exists right now. So, you know, it's certainly interesting to get feedback from people, and, you know, maybe we can do something about that going forward. Then the other person we think you should check out on Twitter is Brian Alexander. He is a general all-around technology savant for Knightly, and he's a big science fiction aficionado, and as I say, has probably the best beard in Vermont. Certainly the biggest.
Yeah, my husband actually calls him the bearded one.
Yes. So. He just has a very, very impressive beard.
Very distinct.
Very distinct. So anyway, Brian is very cool, and you should definitely follow him on Twitter. He talks a lot about the intersections of technology, education, and teaching, and how all these things get mixed up together. Some of it is really bleeding edge. I mean, really, really bleeding edge. But I think, nonetheless, very cool, very much worth following.
So. Right. So if you have other people or things that you think we should be following, let us know. Put up a comment in the show notes.
Yeah. So the next thing I wanted to talk about, because I think Facebook is still really popular amongst...
Oh, you're about to get me started,
everybody,
aren't you?
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm really angry with Facebook right now.
I went in and disabled all my stuff, so... Well, I still have my account, but I went in and turned off a bunch of stuff, but...
Did it let you? Because my problem was it kept popping up this thing and saying... We want to connect all of your stuff.
Oh, I just saw that today.
And there's no way to cancel. So if you go to cancel it, it says, we're going to remove all of your interest and TV shows and all of these things from your profile.
So to give you a little bit of background, Facebook decided, they had a big conference, I guess it was last week, where they basically said, hey, we have this great plan. You know, so all that cool stuff that you do in Facebook where you can like things, we're going to extend that to the entire world. So you can go to CNN and like the CNN site, which is basically the new terminology for becoming a fan of something, right? They've replaced the whole fan concept with liking. So in the process of doing this, they wanted to basically exchange all of your or share all of your information with all of their partners. So if you go to CNN and you like something, now CNN has access to everything in your profile.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to opt out of this lovely service, you actually have to go into your profile and tell it, no, don't share all of my information. And this is more stuff than you're just thinking, well, okay, is it just my name? No, it's not just your name. It's your name. I think it was like your marital status, like all the stuff that would show up on your public profile.
Oh, it even, when I'm in Pandora, brings in my profile picture from Facebook along with some of my information, and then below, when an artist comes on, it says, your friend so-and-so in Facebook likes this artist.
Yeah, so
I really don't care. I just want to listen to Pandora.
Yes, I don't really want all this stuff connected. Uh-uh. And the thing is that you don't know what connections it's making inadvertently behind the scenes. You know, I've kind of talked this... like we've talked about this before somewhat, you know, all of this data is just sitting out there. And the thing with the web now is that it's all making connections with this data. So something that seems innocent over here and innocent over here put together, it could spell some problems. So I went in and turned everything off. But yeah, I logged into Facebook today, and lo and behold, it wants to like all of these things. And
it wants to like generate pages. Like it generated a page based on my current job title. I don't need a page for my job title. Really? I don't.
So it's really getting obnoxious. CNET had an article about this, which basically talks about how to opt out of it. I thought I had put it in, but I guess I didn't. There was something about the Electronic Freedom Frontier, which is an organization that fights for privacy rights and such online, talking about basically the timeline of Facebook's offenses in this regard. And the thing is that the ultimate problem here, I think, is that Facebook started off as private. You know, the whole appeal was that it was about communities and these small little communities that people self-organized into. And now it's kind of done the opposite. It's basically taking all these little communities that people built and opening them up.
Exploiting them.
Yeah. So, I mean, as opposed to Twitter, where I have my public Twitter accounts. You know, I know that I have public Twitter accounts.
Right.
It's a little bit different. So Twitter was kind of public from day one. And although they've had hooks into things, you know, with, I guess if you had a private login, I don't know how that shakes out. But I don't know. I just find it to be very different. Facebook was designed to be a closed community. And now they're kind of taking that and saying, yeah, well, you know, we could probably share this with everybody. You don't mind, do you? So
Yeah. Be
aware about what Facebook is doing. I guess the other thing that ties into this is Google Buzz. And I'm kind of surprised The reaction to Google Buzz was kind of off the charts compared to what Facebook is doing. I haven't seen nearly as much outcry. So
because it doesn't really work very well.
Well, right. Google Buzz kind of sucks. But Google announced this new service, earlier in the spring semester, where basically they said, hey, cool, we're going to be like Twitter, and you'll be able to have all your status updates, and we're going to feed everything that you do in Google into Google Buzz. And you don't mind if we do that, right? And we're just going to opt in. Everybody who's in your address book is just going to be a follower. And this was just a really bad idea across the board because it made, again, it's making all these connections that you don't want it to make. And just because somebody's in your address book, like one woman pointed out, her ex-husband was in her address book. That doesn't necessarily mean that she wants to be friends with him. It just means that she has to communicate with him occasionally, right? So very interesting time for social media, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I guess this next news article that I found is sort of alongside the whole privacy issue. It seems that Northern Arizona University is set to install some proximity ID scanners in some of its large classrooms. And so what this means is that when you walk into class with your student ID on you, it will take your attendance, essentially, and it will send this data to the faculty member to let them know who was in class and who was not in class.
That's crazy.
And so, of course, you know, as you can imagine, students are sort of outraged because while the university says they're not going to impose some sort of, like, mandatory attendance policy, you know, students know it's coming, at least within their grade for the most part. So, you know, faculty members are putting, you know, 10% of the final grade on attendance and participation, and they're using these numbers or using this information in order to track that. So,
yeah, what happens if it starts knitting it all together? So now they have these in the student union too. And not only do they know that you went in, that you didn't go to class, but that you were hanging out with your friends drinking coffee instead of going to class, you know?
I mean, because, and that was the other thing is that, you know, people said, oh, well, students will just give the card to another person in class and then they'll walk in with it. However, at Northern University, Northern Arizona, which I'm sure is, you know, like here as well, the same card that would be checked there is the same card you would use to buy your coffee
right.
in the bookstore or that sort of thing. So, and to get into your residence hall, it's the key and, you know,
right.
all these things. So it's all sort of tied together. So students are sort of outraged and I sort of chuckle because they think we are a little over the top sometimes here. So so read that one and let me know what you think.
Yeah, wow. So there have been some new toys that have been released over the last couple of months. And I guess the one that's gotten the most fanfare has been the Apple iPad, which now neither one of us actually have one of these, but we've seen it.
We've seen it, and ours is on order for the department, but
and someday it will even arrive.
It might quite possibly arrive.
We could have just gone ahead and ordered the 3G one. at this rate.
I could have walked in the store and bought one. This is ridiculous.
So the iPad, for those of you who somehow avoided hearing about it, is a basically a tablet, a computer slash appliance. I would call it more of an appliance, personally. Yeah. It's much more like an iPod Touch. Although I think that it's a fair description to say that the iPod Touch is a scaled-down iPad than it is to say that the iPad is a scaled-up iPod Touch, just because it's so much cooler than an iPad Touch. but anyway, the it's a touch-sensitive tablet. It weighs about a pound, if I remember correctly, maybe a little less than a pound. And it works similarly to the iPhone and the iPod Touch, so you can have different apps on it. And the thing that has appealed to me are two things. First of all, book reading. I think it the text is so crisp on the screen.
Very nice.
It's really beautiful. And comic books. Because I collect comic books. I've been looking for an electronic alternative to buying the comics and storing the comics. And this looks like it could really do the trick. I mean, the colors on this thing are just fantastic. And I think just like for browsing the web, I do a lot of blog reading and stuff. You know, just when you're hanging out on the sofa, I think this could be useful. But I do think it's like a niche product.
Yeah.
At least right now.
I would agree with that. I mean, you know, for me, and we've talked about this, for me, it's the type of thing, like, I was traveling last month and taking lots of pictures and wanting to upload those directly to Flickr, and without extra peripherals and jumping through major hoops, there's not really a good way to do that with the iPad.
Right.
And so the whole purpose of why I would have bought one to go on that trip may not have really met my need.
Right. Although they did release this camera adapter. But, you know, the problem with it is that it doesn't have any camera input. So there's no built-in camera on it. And there's no USB port. And there's no SD card reader without this extra attachment. Now, they have the attachment, so you could theoretically do all of this stuff. But for me, like, the second rev could be so much better. And I don't know if they didn't include that stuff for, you know, technology reasons, because they wanted to be able to have a reason for people to buy the second version, or, you know, it just added too much weight.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, I do like the form factor. It gets a little bit heavy, I think, just kind of like holding it around the office, but I'd be very curious to see what it's going to feel like when you're just kind of sitting on your couch. Because, I mean, the thing for me is sometimes a laptop is just overkill. You know, for as a casual computer user, you know, do you want to pull out, like, the netbook? You know, because the netbook's kind of hard to type. Right. So we'll see.
We'll see if it wins my heart.
I think the most interesting thing about it is that it could ultimately evolve this form factor. You know, I had a couple of my friends who were following on who I follow on Twitter were talking about it, and you know, like, well, you know, there's been, you know, the tablets have been around forever. Why is anybody making a big deal about this? I'm like, yes, they have been around forever, but they all ran Windows, and honestly, most of them sucked. Unless you were using them for a very particular reason and you had a custom app designed for that, like, you know, with medicine or something like that, they sucked. And they always were trying to be something more than just a tablet. You know,
right.
They have a keyboard in the back. So, you know, the whole thing just becomes
cumbersome
and awkward. So I'm not saying this is perfect, but I'm thinking this is something that I like. So we'll see how it goes. Now, unfortunately, the alternatives kind of seem to be dropping off. This just happened today. Apparently, HP has canceled their Slate laptop, which was going to be running, or sorry, tablet, which is going to be running Windows 7. And the Microsoft Courier, which was kind of like this flipbook tablet thing that they've been working on for the last year or so, just got canceled too. Now, HP apparently is going to take WebOS from their recently purchased Palm and use that for a new generation of tablets, but that's probably not going to happen for another year. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that the market, you know, because everyone was saying that the HP product was probably going to be the thing that killed the iPad, if anything could.
Right.
So, I'm interested.
Well, because it had a built-in camera,
yeah.
It had a built-in USB ports, and it had,
It had
you know,
the things that we felt like the iPad was lacking, so.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll be interested to see kind of how it shakes out. And, I mean, just from an educational standpoint, I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of cool apps for the iPod Touch, you know, being able to model molecules and that sort of thing. And I think there's some interesting thing. I think touch opens up additional opportunities there for interacting with simulations and such. So I'll be interested to see how it shakes out. But we'll see how it goes.
Stay posted. Well, in help news, we actually have been running lots and lots of workshops recently, primarily WordPress, but some other things. And so upcoming, next week, actually on Cinco de Mayo, we are hoping to get a group of faculty together to participate in a webinar on teaching with concept maps.
Okay. What is a concept map?
Well, a concept map is... What's the best way to explain this? Basically, it's a way to visually lay out information. So think of it as like a flow chart kind of idea, right? The product that we've been using on campus recently is called CMAP Tools, and it's free. It's from another university that developed it. And basically, it allows students to lay out their concepts and make connections between things sort of visually in advance. And then what most of our students have been doing is then using that to craft papers and projects.
So it's kind of like mind mapping?
Yeah, it's like mind mapping. Okay, yep, cool. Concept mapping. So we're going to be hearing from, I believe, Furman is the one who's talking about this. And
cool.
They're talking about microbiology, use in microbiology. So be interesting. And then we do already have on the schedule a couple more WordPress workshops coming up, one for academic and administrative websites on the 26th of May. We're trying to hit that sweet spot just after graduation so that people can get stuff done before the deadline. And we'll also be hosting one for personal and organizational websites on June 3rd. Registration is required, so head to the ITS website and sign up so that we know you're coming. And also, maybe by the time you get there, we'll have another set of workshops up. We do plan on offering kind of a what I perceive as sort of a lot of things this summer, everything from Opinio to how to work with PDFs and all kinds of stuff. So there should
be a boring summer.
It is not going to be a boring summer in many regards, not a boring summer.
I wasn't worried about being bored. I haven't been worried about being bored in a long time. I can't really remember what it feels like to be bored. I'd kind of like to be bored at some point, but
yeah,
in any
some
case.
Days it would be nice.
So we're always looking for feedback on the show. You can find us at sites.lafayette.edu/coffeebreak. And you can also email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu.